book of Acts tonight, Acts chapter 27. And I always say anytime I'm going to preach out of the book of Acts that I love the book of Acts because Acts is a book of action. It's in the name, Acts. It's an action book, and there's a lot happening. We know that Acts is a it's a history. It's a book of history. It's the history of the early church. It's the Acts of the Apostles. One preacher said it's some of the Acts of the Apostles. And certainly not everything that could have been covered, but it's the history of the early church and the apostles and their ministry, and it's a transition book. And a lot of the things we see happening in the book of Acts, we don't necessarily see happening today. But there certainly is a lot going on in the book of Acts, and it's a tremendous book. See the Lord doing a lot. See the church doing a lot. And I had this message. I was doing some reading, some studying, just kind of on my own in my own personal devotion this past week. And the Lord just put this message on my heart. And so I want to give it to you tonight. Pray to be a blessing, be a help to us. Out of Acts chapter 27, when you find your place, we'll stand one last time if you're physically able to and would like to, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 27. And we'll begin reading in verse number 9. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." I'm going to end off reading there. And I want to preach for a few minutes with the Lord's help on how to sink a ship. How to sink a ship. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, this portion of it that you've led our heart to tonight. Father, I pray that you would take it and use it and help us all, Lord, to be drawn closer to thee. Lord, I pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to, Lord, see what you'd have us to see here. Lord, I pray that you'd touch my voice and help me, Lord, to say what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And Father, we just ask for your touch tonight, Lord. We need you so desperately. And so, Lord, I pray that eternal work would be done here in the hearts of your people. And Lord, you'd be glorified and honored in all that's done. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What we have here in this passage is the Apostle Paul is actually working his way to Rome at this point. He's been arrested and he's been put into the under the authority and put into the care of a Roman centurion who is transporting him to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And all that's happened in Paul's life, this arrest and this journey to Rome, it's not anything he's done wrong or sinful. It's everything he's done right and good. It's been arrested because he's preached Jesus and he's stood for God. He's been a preacher of righteousness. And so we certainly see in Paul's life And you'll find in your life that living a right life doesn't necessarily mean living a good life, because good things don't always happen. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We're all going to have to make up our mind whether we want to live right or we want to live good, because those aren't always the same thing. And no doubt, the greatest blessings in life come from serving the Lord, but the world doesn't always understand, the world doesn't always respond positively to you and me standing for what is right and doing that which is right. And Paul certainly has found this out here. And he's worked his way through the judicial system. He's stood before King Agrippa. He stood before a few different ones. And as he's gone, he's appealed to Caesar. And it's actually been said that had he not appealed to Caesar, he might would have been set free. But no doubt it was the will of God. And the Apostle Paul has appealed to Caesar. And Caesar is kind of the highest court at this time. That great, vast Roman Empire is pretty much in control of virtually the whole known world. And Caesar, of course, is the head of that Roman Empire. And so once you kind of work your way through the different courts and stand before the different rulers, the very last place to go is Caesar, and he will make the final decision. He is the Supreme Court, if you will. And so Paul is now on his way to stand before Caesar. History tells us, the Bible doesn't, but history does, that Paul would actually be beheaded by Caesar. He would lose his life a martyr for the cause of Christ. And that's just history. And so we don't have Bible on that, but historically speaking, that's what they say happened. And so he's going to stand before Caesar. He's making his journey, and it's a long journey. And here they are. They're about to get in this ship, and they're going to cross the Mediterranean Sea and make their way over there. And that's what leads us to the story that we are at now. And what we find here is that they encounter a storm along the way. These men and these ones that are carrying Paul, they did pretty much everything that a person could possibly do to sink this ship. Now, not carnally speaking, but spiritually speaking, from the flesh and from the natural perspective, I mean, they kind of did everything right, so to speak. They just did the best you could do as a person living in your flesh. I mean, they looked at the situation, they evaluated, and they went to sailing. But from the spiritual perspective, they spiritually did everything that you could do to sink the ship. And making that spiritual application here, we can see the same thing in our lives. That you could sink your ship. You could sink the ship of your testimony, sink the ship of your life. You could sink the ship of your family, sink the ship of a church. You could sink that ship, sink your ship for God, if you just do everything they did. Now, again, the world has a totally different perspective, and your flesh has a totally different perspective, but we're not looking at those things. We're looking at spiritual things. If you don't want to sink your ship for God, you better not do what these people did. And so, I want to look at a few ways, about five ways to sink a ship. And if you do these things, you'll sink your ship for God, too. Now, before I get into it, I want to mention that the storm they encountered, the Bible names it Euroclydon. You know, they only name the biggest storms. They only name the memorable storms. You know, Katrina. And we all remember Katrina. Whenever you just say Katrina, and it automatically causes people to think about that event. It was that big of a storm. They named it. Ivan. Ian. I mean, big storms. They only name the big ones that leave a lasting impression and a lasting memory. And this storm was so big and left such an impression on these men's lives that they would never forget it the rest of their life. And I want you to know that if you're not careful, you can do things and lead your life and your family and even the church in a certain direction that it will bring a storm so big that you'll never get over it, so to speak. Oh yes, you can get the joy of your salvation back. David found that out. Oh yes, you can be forgiven and you can be put back in fellowship with God. And you can go on and serve God to some degree. But if you're not careful, you'll sink your ship to the point that you'll have things you'll carry with you the rest of your life and you'll never get over it. By the way, this ship was their way of getting from point A to point B. But after this event, there was no way to use that ship to get from point A to point B ever again.
And I believe God has got a will for some people's lives. He's got a ship for you to sail. He's got a plan for you. And if you're not careful, you'll sink that ship, and that thing, that deal will be over with. That deal will be, there will be lines crossed and things done that can never be undone. And yes, you can go on and serve God and get forgiveness, but you'll never be able to experience and go God's way in that original plan ever again. So, five ways or some ways to sink a ship. The first one is in verse number 10. Look at it. It says, he said unto them, sirs, now this is Paul speaking now. God's man stands up and he says, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. So the first one is in verse number 10. They did not hearken the man of God. Before they ever set sail, before anything ever happened, the very first thing you have, the very first line of defense, if you will, is God putting it in the heart of a man and allowing him to perceive some things and see some things that nobody else saw. And he stands up with a message, no doubt from God, and gives that message to them that, hold on, fellas, you might want to tap the brakes. This is what's about to happen. I perceive that some bad things are going to happen. He says of the lading of the ship. That's the valuable things in the ship. He said even our lives. Amen. But yet they did not hearken the man of God. You know, Paul perceived, the Bible says. Do you know that he saw further down the road than they saw? He saw things in the future of their life that they didn't see at the time. Amen. And Hebrews 13 talks about those that are over you, how they watch for your souls. You know, that's what Paul was doing. He was watching for their souls. He was trying to do them good. He was trying to be a blessing to them. No doubt from their perspective is, Paul's trying to slow this trip down. And how many times is that the flesh's response to the message from God, through the man of God? Is he's trying to hold me back. He's trying to keep me, you know, spoil my fun. He never lets us do anything, right? You know, and that's kind of the way kids are towards parents too. Isn't that right? Listen to me. God and God's man, if he loves you and loves the Lord and loves this Bible, is never trying to spoil your fun. He's trying to watch for your soul. Amen. He's trying to help you not go down a road that he perceives some things in. Amen. And so God's men will warn you, but they did not heed the warning. They went ahead and sailed anyways. And you know what happened? Exactly what Paul said would happen. They lost everything valuable, even the ship itself, and even their very lives were in danger. And I can't tell you how many times I have seen a preacher and even myself have tried to deal with somebody and help somebody, whether it be from the pulpit, preaching a message, giving guidance from the Word of God, or whether it be sitting down one-on-one and talking, saying, listen, you need to really think about this. I see some danger ahead. And I can't tell you how many times myself and even other men have done that, and yet people do not heed the warning. And you know what happens 99 times out of 100? Exactly what the man of God said would happen. Exactly what the man of God said would happen. And I know preachers, and we use that term, man of God. But listen, I know preachers and pastors are just like men, like anybody else. Well, I'm in the same flesh you're in. I put my pants on the same way you do. And I do the same. Listen, I have to brush my teeth because my breath will stink too. Amen. And I know some Baptist folk think that nothing about them stinks. Amen. But listen, there's stuff that stinks about all of us. Amen. And we've all got opinions, and they're all like armpits. Both of us got two or three, and most of them stink and all that. And listen, I'm no different from you in that. But at the same time, God puts a pastor and puts a man in a place, puts a man in your life. And whether it's me or whether it be anybody else down the road, God puts a man there for a reason. And he will always perceive things that you just won't perceive. And by the way, that's a blessing. Don't be mad about that. It's a blessing to have somebody in your life that can see those things. Amen. Listen, if you want to sink your ship for God, if you just never want to do anything for God, if you want to get your life in a mess, listen, you just go on and never listen to anything the preacher says. Never listen to anything the pastor says. Listen, anytime he tries to help you, tries to guide you, tries to give you something, just get mad. Just get puffed up. Just go do it anyways. And I'm telling you right now, you'll sink your ship. You'll sink your ship. He said damage, the lading, that's the materials, even their lives. But they would not listen. And so one of the ways is they did not hearken the man of God. The second way is in verse number 11. He said, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And so not only did they not hearken the man of God, but they also took worldly advice. And instead of listening to Paul, that old fogey preacher, you know, that dinosaur preacher, all he ever does is read that Bible. I mean, he doesn't know what's out there. He doesn't know what's going on in the internet world. He doesn't know what's going on in pop culture. He's not in tune with what's going on today, you know. He's just an old dinosaur, that old dusty preacher. And so instead of listening to him, we've got these experts over here. And that's exactly what they did. Instead of listening to the man of God, they listened to the world's experts. And by the way, the circumstances even went with what the world was saying from the natural perspective. Look in verse 12. It says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in. So in other words, the place they were at was kind of an uncomfortable place. They felt like they'd rather be somewhere else. Listen, don't ever go on your feelings. Just because where you're at don't feel so great doesn't mean it's not the will of God. Amen? So it wasn't a super comfortable place. And then it says, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly. So all the circumstances say, we need to go sailing, man. It's not comfortable where we're at. And if we stay here much longer, we're going to be stuck here. And then not only that, but it says the south wind blew softly. In other words, they had the right wind. They had an uncomfortable place and a better place to get to. I mean, everything said, we need to go sailing. And today's the day. Amen. And so everything the experts were saying, the world's experts were saying, even though it was opposite of what the preacher said, everything the experts said, all the circumstances went along with it too. Listen, never surround yourself with yes men. Amen. Listen, never surround yourself with people that'll just tell you what you want to hear. Someone that will just go along and just tell you what you want to hear because it's already what you're feeling anyways. And they'll just prop up your opinion and prop up your feelings for the sake of being your friend. That is not your friend. The friend is the person that will tell you the truth about the matter. Paul's trying to be a blessing to him, but these experts, these carnal, lost people that ain't got a clue about the things of God are telling what they think, and they're listening to them instead of Paul. You'll sink your ship if you do that. Listen, if you go down to the job and you're constantly taking in what all these lost hellions down at the job are saying, I'm telling you, you'll get messed up. Amen. By the way, you need to always evaluate where the source of the opinion. Let me just help you. Don't get marriage advice from that woman that's been divorced and remarried three times. She ain't got a clue. Amen. Don't take parenting advice from that family that's lost their kids. They're out in the world. They're in jail. They're on drugs. And I know that can happen to any child and any family. I understand that. But you understand what I'm saying. Listen, these people that ain't got a clue are generally the ones giving you their opinion the most. I heard one preacher say a while back, and he was talking about preachers. He said, you know, it's amazing how generally speaking, the preachers that have the least to say are the ones talking the most. And the ones that have the most that you could really feed off what they say, they usually don't talk a whole lot. Amen. That comes with wisdom and with age. Right? And so that's what happened. Instead of listening to Paul, they took worldly advice. You got to always be careful what early advice you take. Brother Boozer was giving a devotion in Sunday school this morning, and whenever I got in there, he was talking about worship and talking about time. How you have to intentionally put time into worship and walking with God. And that is more true in 2024 and will be more true than 2024 than it even was in 2023. And it was true in 2023. You want to know why? Because there will be more things in 24 than there even were in 23 to steal your time. There will be more apps. There will be more social media. There will be more to watch on the TV. Listen, there will be more drama going on in the world. There's an election coming up. Listen, there will be a million and one things that don't even matter in eternity that are sitting there waiting to steal your time. And I tell you what a lot of that stuff is too. It's worldly experts influencing you and putting things in your mind. And it's affecting you more than you even realize. Amen. I told the men this morning. Brother Sammy Allen used to tell a story when he was a young preacher and talking to an older preacher about how to really have, you know, the touch of God on your life and your ministry. And I can't remember who the man he was talking to. He used to tell the story of being at a meeting, you know, and catching this guy and getting him off to the side and asking him about this. And he used to always say that what that man told him was this. The answer, this is how you have the power of God, how you have the touch of God. He used to tell him this. You got to spend more time with him than you do with any of them. Talking about the other preachers and the other people at that meeting. And I tell you, that is the way to walk with God. Spend more time with God than you do anyone else. Spend more time with your mind on God than anything else. Because I tell you, this world and the devil's got a million and one things to capture your mind and capture your attention. And you may think you're just watching it for entertainment. You may think that you're just watching it to unwind. You're just doing it to unwind. And I'm not necessarily against all of that, but I am telling you this. You need to be careful, because when you think you're just unwinding, I tell you what the devil's doing. He's putting stuff in there. Amen. And more than you realize, it's going to affect the way you think. It's going to affect the way you respond. It's going to affect your habits. It's going to affect the things you think about. It's going to affect you. And I'm telling you what it is. It is the world's advice. You say, well, I'm not taking it as advice, but you are walking in the counsel of the ungodly if you're not careful. That stuff affects us. I've told you this probably 100 times now, but I'll tell you again, in the late 90s, the approval rating of same-sex marriage in America was very, very low. I mean, it was like less than 30%, you know, people that approved of same-sex marriage. This is in the late 90s now. We thought we had problems back then too, by the way. I mean, we thought we had real problems. Ain't that right? You know, I mean, we thought we had problems with women wearing them painted on blue jeans to church, and now they got leggings that are like a half step away from underwear, you know. I mean, we thought we had such problems back then, but boy, if we only knew. And the approval rating of same-sex marriage in the late 90s was like in the low 30s. I mean, it wasn't high at all. And then there came out a sitcom, one of the most famous sitcoms of all time, called Will and Grace. It was one of the first mainstream sitcoms to portray a sodomite in a positive light as a hero. Now, every show does that now. They're the heroes. Anyone who's conservative, anyone who has traditional biblical views on anything is an idiot as far as Hollywood's concerned, right? And I mean, if they're ultra-liberal and they push abortion and, I mean, they're sodomite, I mean, they're the heroes now, you know. And so that was the first sitcom, though, to portray that. And in 3 years, 3 years from that sitcom hitting airwaves, 3 years later, the approval rating of same-sex marriage in America jumped from less than 30% to over 60%. It more than doubled in 3 years. You want to know why? Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. People see that stuff every day, and they take it in every day. And they suddenly, because this guy looks so friendly and so nice and so relatable and so awesome on this TV show, maybe it's not as bad and terrible and awful as that preacher always said it was. Right? And so little by little, it happens. And it happens in everything. And that is the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen? And so they sunk their ship taking worldly advice. That's why I preach all the time about parents being careful what they allow their kids to be exposed to, because it's ungodly counsel. It's the world's advice. It's the world's way of life. You know, people talk all the time about getting, you know, TV filters and filtering their TV shows, filtering out the language. And that's good. I mean, thank God for it. But let me just tell you something else. There's something that you can never filter out. You can filter out every cuss word and every sex scene and every violent scene that you want to, but you'll never filter out the worldview, the mentality of the world, the idea, the way they think, the way, and that, even without the cuss words, that is getting into you. And you got to be careful. Amen. That's why David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. Because it gets into you and it affects you spiritually. Spiritually. You'll sink your ship if you take worldly advice. You've taken enough of the world, you'll sink your ship. Amen. You'll sink your family. And so they took worldly life. I got to hurry now. I got caught up on that one. The next one is in verse number 12. It says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. So not only did they not hearken the man of God and they took worldly advice, but according to verse 12, they took a vote and they went with the majority. They did what the majority wanted to do. They did what most people wanted to do. And can I just tell you that generally speaking, if the majority is for it, God probably is not in it. And that goes in the realm of religion and spiritual things. If the majority, if it's a fad and people are hyped up and jumping on the bandwagon, you can just about guarantee God probably is not in it. And I don't use that as just a big blanket statement. That's not to say that every big church that a lot of people go to, God's not in it, and they're a bunch of compromisers. And that's not to say that if somebody has a meeting, a bunch of people get saved and big things happen, that boy, they just must be compromisers or something. I don't believe that for a second. Amen. Listen, I won't see God do big things here. Amen. And we'll never compromise for it. And if big things happen, God will be in it, because we're not going to compromise for it. Amen. And I know God does big things when there's no compromise involved and there's no worldliness involved. I understand all that. But I'm just saying, generally speaking, if it is a fad, God's probably not in it, because the majority has never gone with God. Not as a whole. Well, I mean, you just look even in the Lord's ministry. The crowds were big when He was feeding everybody, but the crowds were mighty small when He was going to Calvary. When He got into those hard sayings, you know. And so they took the vote. If you go with just what everybody else is doing, you'll sink your ship. That's what they did. They could have listened to Paul. They could have listened to God's man. But this is what everybody else wants to do, so this is what we'll do. You might want to write this in the flyleaf of your Bible. At least write it on your heart. Never forget it. Wrong is still wrong if everyone's doing it. And right is still right if no one is doing it. Amen? And so they took a vote. They just figured out what everybody else wanted to do. They took a poll and they did what everybody wants to do. You know what Jesus said regarding pleasing everybody? He said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. In other words, if you're going to do right, not everybody's going to love it all along the way. Now, we don't intentionally go out of our way to tick people off and to just be a big jerk to people. We don't do that. God's not in that for a second. God's not in a million miles of that. Amen. There's not one thing inside of me that desires to be the most controversial preacher in America. I don't desire to build my ministry on controversy and ticking people off. And I don't think God's in that stuff. Amen. Jesus was a man of controversy, but he never intentionally tried to, you know, be ugly to people. Who was more kind than our Lord? Right? But the simple fact is that if you're going to do right, I don't care how kind you are, how courteous you are, how good you try to be, how meek of a spirit you have. Listen, the world, the flesh is not going to like it. And the second you start licking your finger to figure out which way the wind's blowing and which way the crowd's going and just going with the crowd and doing what everybody else is doing or wants to do, second you jump on a bandwagon, you're not far from sinking your ship. Amen? So they took a vote. Then the next one is in verse number 13. It says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete." So the south wind blew softly. I mean, Paul's saying one thing, but the wind is saying something else. And then they sailed close to Crete, the Bible says. In other words, I think probably they had in their mind that, you know, it's good, looking good, but we know Paul is saying this. So we'll just kind of stick our feet out there a little bit and we'll stay close to Crete. So where if something does happen, we'll whoop, shoot back to Crete real quick and everything will be okay. I've seen a lot of people do that. I mean, it's in the back of their mind. I know what the preacher's saying. I know what the Bible says and what God says, but I'm just going to get out and test the waters a little bit. Amen. You know, the majority of pastors and churches, the ministry, there's no telling what you could get done for God if you weren't having to constantly deal with people testing the worldliness waters. That seems like there's more time spent on that among the church than anything else. Because people are constantly just trying to test the waters, you know. I mean, just test the boundaries. Push the envelope a little bit. Why don't we just get sold out to God and just stay where we're supposed to stay? Amen? Hey, listen, that'll help them if they'd have done that. And I tell you what testing that water is going to do, it's going to cause you to sink your ship. You're going to get farther out there than you realize you are, and you're going to get stuck in a storm, get stuck in a mess, and you're not going to be able to get back where you thought you was going to be able to get back to. Amen? And so what happened here, though, is, and the point is this, they sunk their ship by getting loose here. The Bible says they loosing thence. They loosened up. They started sailing, but they sailed close to Crete. And so they started sailing, but they thought they weren't really just out there. They were just kind of loose, you know. We'll get back to Crete if we need to. Listen, you know what the world views? The world views looseness and loosening things up as a way to draw a crowd. But I tell you what it leads to. It leads to storms every time. Amen? I don't know about you, but I still love the old-time way. And I still thank God for the old-time way. And there's been a lot that have come and a lot that have gone. But by the grace of God, I want to die in the old-time way. Don't you? I mean, I don't want to loosen things up for the sake of getting more people. I don't want to loosen things up for the sake of, you know, having a bigger name. I want to stay in the old-time way. I want to stay with the Bible way, don't you? And there's been plenty that have been here and plenty that have gone. And there's plenty that are on their way out right now. They don't even know it, probably. But some are on their way out right now. But by the grace of God, I want to stay in the old time way, and I don't want to get loose in these last days. Amen? I don't want to loosen things up. I want to tighten things down. Amen? I want to get tighter. I want to get closer to God. I want to cinch things up. Amen? And by the way, that's what we're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to do when you get cold on God? Tighten up. Amen. You know what it's supposed to do whenever you don't feel like being in church, you don't feel like worshiping, and it just feels like things are wrong. You know what you're supposed to do? You need to just tighten up. That's what we need to do. We need to tighten up. We don't need to loosen up. We need to tighten up. We don't need to have less services. We have more. We don't need to pray less. We need to do more. Tighten up. Because looseness will lead to a storm. You'll sink your ship. Anytime you think to yourself, I just don't think I need to go to church tonight. Listen, unless you're running fever and you got the flu, amen, something that all of us can catch. You get to thinking, man, I've just had a terrible week and I've got all this going on. I don't need church tonight. Let me tell you, that is not God ever telling you that. God's never told you that. Somebody or something may be telling you that, but God's never told you that. God's never told you to get loose. Listen, what we need to do when things get hard and the battle gets tough and things you know, get dark. And you know what we need to do? We need to fight the desire of the flesh to loosen up and instead feed the spiritual man by tightening up. Amen. Tighten down. Pray more. Read more. Seek God more. Go further with God. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but that's the thing to do if you don't want to sink your ship. Amen. You get loose, you'll sink your ship. The last one is in verse number 18. I'll give you this and I'm done. Verse 18 says, "And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." Now, they've done everything spiritually to sink this ship. They've not hearkened the man of God. They've taken worldly advice. They've gone with the majority. They got loose, you know. All these things all along the way. And now, because of all that, they've found themselves in a storm. And what is happening here, though, is because they wouldn't listen to Paul. They made up their mind he's going to do their own thing. I mean, they went with the circus. They went based on how they feel instead of on what they heard. Never do that. Never go on how you feel. Go on what you hear. Go on the Word. Amen. And because they've done, they've wound up in this storm. And because they're in this storm, there it's looking like they're going down. Listen, I know people right now, whether they realize it or not, they're going down. They're going down. And it's because of this right here. Exactly. Because they would not listen to the man of God in their life. They wouldn't listen to God in the council. They went on how they felt and all those things and took worldly advice. By the way, if you want worldly advice, you want somebody to prop up the wicked thing you're thinking and feeling, just put it on Facebook. You'll get 100 likes, you know, get everybody commenting about how brave you are and how awesome you are and what a great thing it is. Amen. Amen. You can always find somebody to prop up the direction you're wanting to go. Some ungodly, carnal, you know, group or crowd that ain't got a clue when the things of God. Amen. And that's exactly what they did. And I know people right now, whether they realize it or not, they're going down. They're in the storm. They're in the battle of their life. And that's where they are. They're in the battle of their life now because of all the decisions they've made all along the way. And because they are in the position they are in, they are now throwing overboard. They're throwing off of their ship the things that at one time were very needful and very valuable to them. The lading of the ship. The tackling of the ship. My word, the tackling's what how you drive the ship, how you give the ship power to go, and what gets you from point A. And they're throwing for the sake of just trying to stay above water, keep their head above water. They're now throwing overboard the things that at one time in their life were so important in their life. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen to people spiritually. Because they would not listen, they took worldly advice, they did all the things these people, they wind up in such a storm, in such a mess in their life. Suddenly, the things that were such a blessing to them, suddenly the things that were such a joy to them and were so valuable in their life, those things are now a burden. And what they do is they throw it overboard just for the sake of trying to keep their head above water. I mean, all their standards, you know, they just throw them overboard. Listen, by the way, Bible standards are a burden in the flesh. Listen, Bible dress standards and conviction, they're a burden to anybody whose heart's not right with God. Amen. Faithfulness to God, I mean, that's a burden to anybody whose heart's not right with God. And I know we all battle these things in our flesh. I understand all that. But listen, those things, the things that you committed to God, they were such a blessing. And it felt so good just to stand for God in this area, to make this decision and commit to God. And can you remember those days, the times where God dealt with you about something and you put it on an altar somewhere and you got up and walked away feeling so much lighter and feeling so much better because you gave that thing for God. And it didn't matter how anybody responded. You knew in your heart that you were doing the will of God. And it just felt good to do God's will even when nobody else understood. I'm going to tell you what will happen. You wind up in a storm like this because you do what these people did. That same thing will be a burden to you. Oh, it won't be a blessing then. You'll get to thinking, man, maybe this just isn't as important as I thought it was. Maybe living this way and raising my kids this way and having these things in our home or not in our home or not going to these places or going those way or dressing this way or not dressing that. Oh, listen, maybe it's just not as important. I mean, it just really is an inconvenience, you know. And I tell you, living for God is an inconvenience when you're not right with God. And what you'll do is you'll throw it all overboard. You'll throw it all just for the sake of trying to stay above water. And I tell you, the world, when you go the way of the world, anybody goes the way of the world, it'll strip us of everything. Maybe not everything of the world, but it'll strip us of everything that's really valuable in eternity. And they threw overboard the important things. They thought it would lighten the load, you know. They thought it would make things easier in their life. Listen, don't throw overboard the standards and the convictions and the commitments you've made to God. Listen, sometimes we wind up in a storm. These people wind up in a storm because of their sin. Sometimes you wind up in a storm because you've done right. Storms come, you know. But can I just tell you that I've seen people in storms for both reasons. I've seen people in storms like this because they did what these people did, and I've seen people in storms because they did right. And I've seen in both cases, sometimes people, for whatever reason, throw out all the valuable things in their life just because they're in a storm. I mean, they start going through something hard. Next thing you know, they've quit church. I mean, they start missing a little on Wednesday here and there, and then Wednesday leads to Sunday night, and then Sunday night leads to hit and miss on Sunday morning. And next thing you know, I mean, they're just out. They're just out. Because listen, when you're in a storm like this, man, it can feel like such a burden. It could just be so much easier if I just didn't have to do that stuff anymore. If I didn't have to just go this way anymore, it just would be so much easier. Listen, don't throw overboard all those things. Listen, if you do that, you'll sink your ship. They didn't hearken the man of God. They took worldly advice. They went with the majority. They got loose. They threw overboard the things that were needful. Now, if you know the rest of the story, they did wind up sinking this ship. This ship came all to pieces. And they barely made it out. Many of them floated to land on a deserted island, so to speak. There with barbarians, you know. They floated on pieces of wood and pieces of the ship. I mean, they barely made it out. But you know how they only barely made out? They only barely made it out when they started listening to Paul. You read this rest of the story. They finally started listening to Paul. And it wasn't like the Lord stepping out and calming the winds and sea. No, they didn't get out of the storm. The storm was still raging. But they started listening to Paul. And because they listened to him, they barely made it. It wasn't an easy road. Amen. And I tell you, if you go the route that these people go, getting back where you're supposed to be, it's not going to be an easy road. But you can make it. But you do need to know this, that these men, no doubt, I believe with all my heart, even though none of them lost their lives, I think many of them carried scars and memories and things from that storm that they never got over the rest of their life. They would never forget it the rest of their life. And they sunk that ship. Listen, the same will be for us spiritually. Same will be for us in our life too if we do the things that they did. Don't sink your ship. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for helping us with your word, and I pray that you'll take it and use it in all of our lives. God, help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that Lord is going the wrong direction, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd open their eyes and help them, Lord, to see, Lord, the area of their life, God, that needs to be corrected before they sink their ship. Lord, bless now on the altar call. Help us to do business with you. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.